Singapore, a small city home to 5.5 million people. Despite its small size, Singapore is one of the world's most prosperous nations, ranking as the third richest city in the world. A city which thrives on its global financial hub and advanced technology, Singapore is an economic success. Earning the top spot of the most expensive cities in the world, you would assume that poverty doesn't exist. On the surface, Singapore may look like the perfect city, however, hidden in the cracks is a serious poverty issue. Singapore's wealth inequality is amongst the worst in the world, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. In fact, according to a Credit Suisse report, the top 20% of Singapore's wealthiest own 73% of the country's wealth. Yes, that's right, 73%. In contrast, the bottom 20% only owns a mere 1% of the wealth. This is the opposite of sustainable development. At this rate, the rich are only going to get richer while the poor fall deeper into poverty. A vast majority of the poor in Singapore are the elderly. Mr. Nicholas, a 51-year-old local Singaporean man, struggles daily to make ends meet. He suffers from extreme diabetes, which has cost him his sense of touch, and is unable to find a job. As a result, being poor in Singapore made him feel ashamed and depressed. He says, "No one would give me, a sick man, a job. My self-confidence and emotions took a tumble." Mr. Nicholas receives $450 a month, all from public assistance. However, after paying all his bills, he lives off a little more than $200. He says, "It is still a struggle. I have to make sure to spend only between $7 to $8 a day to survive." As Nicholas believes, this is nearly impossible, especially in Singapore with its skyrocketing prices. He is unable to afford healthcare, and while there are available resources in which the government provide the poor, he explains that a significant hurdle is finding the relevant agencies and submitting applications to them. Luckily, Willing Hearts, an organization run entirely by volunteers, helps people in similar situations to Mr. Nicholas by operating a soup kitchen that cooks and distributes about 4,500 meals every day. UWC partners with Willing Hearts by running a local service where grade 5 students help to prepare the meals. Nicholas relies heavily on Willing Hearts, saying that, "Every morning, Willing Hearts delivers food packs. I usually have that for lunch, sometimes for both lunch and dinner." He is very thankful for the organizations like Willing Hearts. However, there is still a stigma around poverty in Singapore, which hinders the poor from seeking the help they need. You may be wondering what caused such extreme inequality. Well, the main big factor has got to do with Singapore's sudden transition to a knowledge-based economy. In the 1960s, Singapore focused on labor-intensive manufacturing. At this time, the demand for unskilled to semi-skilled workers was high, and those in the manufacturing industry enjoyed high wages. However, in the 1980s, due to globalization and Singapore gaining affluence, the government embarked on a new strategy to restructure their economy and upgrade the skills of the workforce. New government policies such as tax incentives, along with investments towards education, rapidly increased job opportunities for high-skilled workers. Those that remained unskilled or semi-skilled suffered from structural unemployment, expanding the inequality gap between the highly skilled and unskilled. Also contributing to this inequality gap is something known as the policy of meritocracy, aka the fact that Singapore only provides education and growth to its deserving citizens or citizens which earn the highest merit. This puts immense pressure on young students as they are well aware that Singapore's schools demonstrate a strong bias towards the cognitive elite. From a young age, children are streamed into those that are academically able and those that are less academically able. The ones that earn the highest merit in school enter even better schools, gain university education, and therefore earn an immensely higher salary, while those unable to reach the required marks fall behind. For these reasons, Singapore's rapid growth, the government, and its educational policies are partially to blame for amplifying this sustainability issue. An article called "The Stinging Nanny," published by The Economist, presents a global perspective which criticizes the Singapore's government's actions towards addressing poverty. The Economist put out a harsh statement saying, "The state's attitude can be simply put, being poor here is your own fault." The newspaper believes that the government is irresponsible for directing its spendings towards building casinos and shopping malls, showing antipathy towards public welfare. Their perspective is influenced by economic theory, which demonstrates how if extreme wealth inequality continues, it could potentially lead to higher unemployment or even cause Singapore to fall into a deep recession. They state that the government does put in place public assistance. However, it is only granted sparingly, and only 3,000 families currently qualify, which from their view is extremely insensitive of them. Perhaps the most important perspective to look at is the views of the Singapore government and how they believe they are tackling the issue. Michael Eng Cheng Teo, the High Commissioner for Singapore, holds an ideological perspective and has defended Singapore's actions in a response to The Economist's controversial article. He believes it's unfair for others to judge Singapore's society so harshly, as he says, each society has to decide for itself the appropriate balance between unconditional welfare and self-reliance. He mentions that because of Singapore's lack of natural resources, its future depends on being dynamic and self-reliant people who strive our utmost to excel and create wealth for ourselves, family, and our society. He explains how their approach teaches citizens important values such as being hardworking, self-reliant, and owning responsibility. Instead of issuing overgenerous welfare handouts, the government focuses on subsidizing education, healthcare, and public housing, which Singapore has proven to be very successful in providing. Their goal is to uplift the skills of the workforce, which has led to high growth, low unemployment, and high savings. While poverty still exists in Singapore, several measures have been taken to address the issue. The government runs several schemes to alleviate poverty, which include education, welfare, and housing. Singapore puts a large portion of its money towards subsidizing education to ensure that all citizens are equipped with the skills necessary for their future. Singapore has been very successful in achieving this as it has managed to make primary education completely free and higher education very affordable for many families. Furthermore, it has made primary education compulsory to increase the quality of education, enabling more citizens to find a job which will increase their future incomes. In addition to this, Singapore uses a progressive tax system. Citizens which earn under 20,000 Singapore dollars a year do not pay tax. Along with this, those with monthly wages under 1,000 are eligible for handouts and healthcare coverage by MediShield Life. Progressive taxes help to redistribute income to give some to the poor. With increased incomes, they can afford basic necessities such as food and housing. Healthcare coverage also means that those living in poverty don't need to worry about the high cost of medicine and health checkups. Housing in Singapore has also been made affordable by the government's decision to extend the development of HDBs. This has enabled citizens to spend a lower percentage of their incomes on rent so that they are able to spend more on their other needs. There is definitely a lack of awareness of the existence of poverty in Singapore. It is often hidden from the city areas in Singapore and only seen behind the walls of HDBs. When it comes to the economy, my beliefs align more with the conservative ideology, as I believe in keeping taxes low in Singapore. Therefore, I do not believe that making taxes more progressive is a good path to go down, as it may prevent economic growth. Instead, I am a strong believer in the Chinese proverb, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach him to fish, feed him for a lifetime. What this means to me is that when trying to alleviate poverty, the Singapore government should steer away from only giving out money, as this is not sustainable. Instead, they should focus on giving resources and providing support similar to what they are doing now with education. Like the Chinese proverb said, instead of giving money, teach citizens how to get a job in order to earn money for themselves and family. As learnt from the previous unit in GPIS Wealth and Poverty, finding a one-fix solution is impossible for such a multifaceted issue. After much research, I suggest that the most successful approach for tackling wealth inequality and poverty in Singapore is by retraining the workforce. After Singapore's rapid shift to a knowledge-based economy, those in other industries face structural unemployment. In order to tackle this problem, the government can invest more of their expenditure into organizations such as Skills Future, which works on upskilling workers to find jobs in the new knowledge-based economy. As Singapore has already done this, but on a smaller scale, by pumping more money into the business, if this is successful, more citizens will have a job and be able to earn higher incomes, which will reduce poverty. Moreover, it will close the gap between the top and bottom earners. All in all, yes, Singapore is an advanced economy which has experienced immense economic growth. However, the one thing holding it back is its extremely high wealth inequality. If more measures are taken into account in alleviating poverty, Singapore may be on its way to becoming a sustainable city.